Whenever and wherever there is decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of your religion at that time, I descend myself. Thus, it is out of compassion that the Lord appears in a different form. Lord Sri Krishna appeared in this planet out of compassion for the fallen souls, Lord Buddha appeared out of compassion for animals, who were killed by the demons. Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared out of compassion for Paramahamsa. The conclusion is that the Lord is so compassionate about the fallen souls within this material world that he becomes himself a sense of glory and service with no desire, but all the fallen souls come back home back to God. Thus Lord Sri Krishna instructed Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna for the benefit of the entire human society, and Dalsa mentioned, therefore, seriously consider this Krishna conscious movement and fully utilize the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as creation without alteration of us. Text 42, my dear Brahmana, you have carried out the order thoroughly because you are also as compassionate as the Lord. It is my duty, therefore, to offer you something, but all I possess are but remnants of food taken by great saintly persons. What shall I give you? Purport, the word sarujjam is very significant in this verse. Pradupa Maharaj got his kingdom from great saintly persons like Vidhu and others. This is one of his remnants of food. After the king of death came vain, the whole world was bereft of a popular ruler. There were so many catastrophes occurring in the great city. The first instead of a brutal career, the body of King Prithu out of the body of the stepfather, King Vena. Since King Prithu was thus offered the kingdom by the virtue of the mercy of the sainted persons, he did not want to divide his kingdom among saints like the Kumaras. When a father is eating food, he may, out of compassion, offer the remnants of his food to the son, although such food at the hour used by the father cannot be offered to the father again. Prithu Maharaj's position was something like this. Whatever he possessed was already being chewed, and therefore he did not offer to the Kumaras indeed. Indirectly, however, he offered everything he possessed to the Kumaras and constantly utilized his possessions in whatever way he liked. The next verse clarifies this matter. The king said, O Brahma, O powerful one, formerly the Lord Vishnu showed me his causeless mercy, and he gave to you and come to my house, and he performed the blessing, you have all come. My dear Brahma, you have carried out the order thoroughly, because you are also as compassionate as the Lord. It is my duty, therefore, to offer you something, for all I possess are but remnants of food taken by the saintly persons. What shall I give? So, as is proper etiquette with saintly persons, the king praises Sanat Kumar for his coming there. And he indicates here that the Lord himself is merciful, and consequently the coming of Kumaras is also mercy upon him. So in this way he gets double mercy. First the Lord comes and blesses him, and then he indicates that the Kumaras will come, and then the Kumaras came and gave them instructions. So in this way the Supreme Lord designated the Kumaras to help him in giving up mercy. So the Lord himself gives out mercy when he comes as avatar. And of course avatars do not appear all the time. Nevertheless, the mercy also comes through the devotees of the Lord. So the devotee the Lord empowers the devotees to give out his own mercy. So that is the usual method in which the Lord distributes mercy in this material world. Since he does not always appear, he empowers his devotees to do this. And, of course, the devotees are of various degrees. Some are more powerful than others. In this case, the Kumaras are very powerful because they are Shaktivesh avatars of the Lord. They're not only devotees, but they're also empowered by the Lord. This is Narada Muni's empowerment. For that matter, of course, Prithu also is empowered by the Supreme Lord. So here we have the Kumaras, who are Shaktivesh avatars, giving instruction to Prithu Maharaj, who is another Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord. But the position of Prithu is to play the role of a king, and Kumaras are playing the role of sages and brahmanas. So they give instructions to persons like Prithu. At the same time, we also know that any of these forms, Shaktivesh avatars, are full of knowledge. So Prithu really doesn't need knowledge because he's already a Shaktivesh avatar. Well, yet he accepts this knowledge as a king. Just as in Krishna's pastimes, we will find various instances in which the devotees don't need instruction, but they take instruction. So Arjuna takes instruction, even though he also doesn't need any instructions. Or Uddhava takes instructions, even though he doesn't need any instructions also. So all of this is done as an act of worship of the Lord. And of course these specific instructions given are significant because they are recorded in scripture, and then they act as mercy also. So not only is the Lord merciful in giving instructions to others, but then those instructions get carried on by being preserved in scripture, and they act very mercifully to the rest of the people. So when Krishna instructs Arjuna, that is not only for Arjuna, it is for everybody else. But similarly here, when the Kumar, Sanat Kumar gives instruction to Prithu, which also doesn't need the instruction in one sense, because he's also Chaktivashavatara. But he takes the instruction, and this instruction is preserved in Bhagavatam. So in this way we get the instructions preserved, not for his benefit, but for the people at large. So we'll find a large body of scripture is this type of instruction given, not to a person who's ignorant, but a person who actually has knowledge, but it's there for the benefit of humanity. So in this way, the devotees of the Lord sometimes give instructions, or the Lord himself, Krishna, will give instructions to Uddhava or Arjuna. Or in this case, the Kumaras give instruction to Prithu Maharaj. In either case, it gives benefit to everyone when it's recorded in the scripture. So the king, as a king, Prithu takes this as great mercy that the sages come and give him instructions. This is the way in which the king can advance, by getting good instructions. So the king is qualified in the material world by passion and sattva, rajas and sattva. So the sattva part of him will listen to the instructions given by the sages. And then he will institute those instructions very nicely in his kingdom through rajas, through the passion. So the instructions are not only for Prithu, they're also beneficial for the population at large, because Prithu will institute the instructions in the whole kingdom. So by preaching to one person, the benefit is distributed everywhere. In this way, by speaking to Prithu, the whole population benefits. So in this way, the mercy gets distributed. The Lord is compassionate, and the devotee is compassionate. And similarly, Prithu Maharaja receives the instruction as compassionate, and he distributes this to the rest of the people. So this is how the Lord's mercy gets distributed. In these instances, we see that the mercy consists of the instructions. Krishna gives Arjuna instructions, teachings. And Krishna gives Uddhava instructions or teachings. Here we find Sant Kumar gives Prithu instructions and teachings. So this is how the mercy is conveyed through the instructions. So here it talks about Anugraha and Anukampa. So that mercy is actually the instructions given. So one can take those instructions also through the Bhagavatam, and this way we receive the mercy of the Kumaras, etc., and other personalities who give instructions. So, in fact, the whole Bhagavatam is also instruction. Sukadeva instructs Parikshit. And those instructions constitute the Bhagavatam. So that is mercy of Sukadeva Goswami, manifests in the Bhagavatam. But we can take advantage of the mercy of Sukadeva also by studying those instructions. So in this way, even though those personalities are not directly present before us, we can still receive those mercy by their mercy by receiving the instructions. So if we take the Bhagavatam, then we get all the instructions there. So here's a, in this way, the mercy of the Lord manifests through the devotees of the Lord. And then the duty of the king is to please the saintly persons who welcome them properly and praise them, etc. So he praises them by indicating their great mercy. And then it is the duty of the king also not only to praise, but to give things to those persons. We will see that is quite common when any great person comes. One praises with words, but one also gives things. So therefore, here Prithu also wants to give something. Now it is rather difficult because the Kumaras are detached from everything, so they don't want anything. Their nature is jnana, so they're detached from everything in the material world. So what can the king give them? That is one problem. The other is that Prithvi says that actually everything I have is also the leftovers. In other words, he was given the kingdom through the mercy of the sages, Bhrigu, etc. So therefore, how can he give it to someone else again? So this is his predicament, how to give something suitable to the great sages. So of course, ultimately, in the case of these great sages, of course, Krishna, Anu, or Pena, they're not interested in material things. But they're interested in devotion. So more than the object, it is the devotion that is accepted by the person. So Krishna accepts the devotion of the person, not the leaf or the fruit or the flower. Those are material things, but he accepts the devotion behind it. So similarly, great saintly persons like the Kumaras, they will accept the devotion of Prithu Maharaj rather than the material things, whatever you can offer them. So that is the importance of the worship, whatever, not the actual articles, but the devotion behind it.
But they also get our souls. So that's still like me. But immediately, I went to Maharaja and they were teaching to think beauty.
Yeah. Well, they do this simply to teach others, actually. Ultimately, it's a pastime of the Lord. So Arjuna doesn't need instruction either. Uddhava doesn't need instruction either. But they do this for the benefit of the population. So it's recorded in the scripture, and people can take advantage of it. So it's not particularly for Arjuna that Krishna speaks, but it's for the people of the future. Well, Prabhupada also mentioned this in, I think, Vyasputra Bhaktisiddhanta. So what is the use of the fruit of the flowers? You offer all the fruit and flowers in Vyasputra. This is for Bhaktisiddhanta's Vyasputra. So what is all the use of that? That's good in one sense because it shows respect, but that has to be supported also by practical service. If we only once a year come and offer some fruits and flowers, the rest of the year we do nothing, then what is the use of that? So, if one wants to please Bhaktisiddhanta, he says the best thing you do is you preach. Yeah? That is the best offering you can make to your spiritual master.
Here, tomorrow is acted as Krishna Guru for making instructions.
Yeah.
Sometimes you find that when you take Diksha, Guru gives mantra and goes away, but other devotees who give Diksha, they give the actual instructions. But sometimes the same Diksha Guru can also be instructed.
Yeah, Shikshu Guru can instruct you, but sometimes he may not. So that is why we emphasize the Shikshu Guru in our Sampradaya more than the Diksha Guru. Because without the instructions, you really can't advance.
Usually, a problem that when you think that Shikshu Guru is the main thing, when he gives this mantra, I don't know if he really
is. Yeah, well, that's a misconception.
It is said that listening from the Guru's lotus mouth about the passion for Lord is the best service that disciple can do. Listening from the lotus mouth of the Guru about the pastimes of the Lord is the best service for the disciple can do.
Who says? Well, the only service. So many services are there. One can hear, that's one thing, but one should also act upon that. If one doesn't do anything, then that also is not very good. So one must hear and get knowledge, but one must act upon the knowledge.
But when Krishna instructed to Uddhava, that is called Uddhava Gita. Uddhava Gita.
Yeah.
But Krishna instructed Arjuna, why that is not Arjuna Gita?
Huh?
Arjuna.
Krishna instructed Arjuna.
Yeah.
Why that is not Arjuna Gita?
Bhagavad Gita.
But that is
just a name. It's just a name given, you know. In fact, it's not meant, those names are not mentioned in the scripture itself. Those scriptures itself, those are given later. What's that?
When we read some passages, it looks like the room gets immediate instruction.
Pastimes. Well, pastimes are the major part of the Bhagavatam, are the pastimes of Krishna. So they may not appear as instructions and such, but of course, instructions include not just some philosophy or whatever. Of course, there is also philosophy included in the pastimes, but instructions also include knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So knowledge of His form, knowledge of His qualities, knowledge of His activities. So that is conveyed through the pastimes. So that's another form of knowledge, so that's just an instruction.
So the pastime is form activities of Krishna or our knowledge, is it?
Yeah. It's not ignorance. Spiritual knowledge. It's in the Bhagavatam, that's knowledge.
And when we say to one understand all this in truth, Krishna being form, quality, path and everything in truth.
Yeah.
So you can realize in truth.
Yeah. In other words, yeah, the knowledge is there, but it has to be received with devotion. If it's not, then you won't get not real knowledge, so you'll understand Krishna differently. So those who approach Bhagavata as atheists or devata worship, they won't understand Krishna. So one has to have proper devotion. So Bhagavata is actually meant for the devotees, not for other people. They will get a different message.
Krishna says that devotion is also non-different from Krishna. Krishna also says, proper saying the word that the devotion is non-different from Krishna.
Yeah.
Krishna himself.
Yeah. It's spiritual. It's not a material process. It's emanates from the Swarup Shakti of Krishna. It's not spiritual. Beyond the limits.
Non-devotees cannot understand the Bhagavatam in a proper way. Can you direct that we distribute Bhagavatam books to the non-devotees?
Well, if we give it to people who are hostile, then that is of no benefit at all. So if people are non-hostile and they have some propensity, then that's okay. But if they're hostile, then we shouldn't, because it must destroy the book or something. It's not for us.
Sometimes you see some life patterns, after 10 years of receiving the Bhagavatam, they get occupied in a place in the house, they get back to you.
Yeah.
So you said that the Kanda Purana, having Bhagavatam or Gita in the house, makes a temple for the Lord. In the old days.
Yeah, that's there, but it's just like a temple. If you don't worship in the temple, we'll use it also. So it's better that you have to read the Bhagavatam, then it becomes valuable for you. Of course, even if it's there, it's also good. Just like the name of the Lord, even if it's chanted accidentally, also has benefits. So if the Bhagavatam is there, it's also good. But if you read it, it's of course more beneficial.
But people are not interested in getting about the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be getting Lingam Krishna, but Lingam Prasada.
Give them Prasada, let them hear the holy name. Then they'll be purified, then they'll be more interested, and then they'll listen.
ग्रंथनाथ से श्रीमद् भागवतम की
जय
गोलोकनाथ की जय 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 गोपाल की जय जय गोपाल की जय
Oh, I'm going to show you. You're going to show you.